Just another magic Monday. Money girl. So if you look at our description, you know we're going to talk about our relationship with banking, which if it had a relationship status, it would be, it's complicated because it is. Part of that is the terms and conditions. And I am, even though it's in the UK, we are going to look at Nigel Farage and the way he and thousands of others are being treated by NatWest, which is NatWest Group, which is an owner of about 19 different banks, all of which have turned down not just Nigel Farage, but his family as well, and even small people that question things like the Reverend in Yorkshire is being turned down. You are no longer able to have a bank account, no longer able to receive payments for your work, no longer able to pay bills. You have now become what is called unbanked, unable to access a credit card, unable to pay bills, unable to receive wages, which puts essentially becoming an unperson. Why is this important? Because in the drive to a cashless society, much as has been driven since the 1970s from the Nixon administration forward in this type of a society. Guess what happens? If you do not have access to a bank and to be able to do things digitally, because only criminals carry cash in this society, guess what? You are an unperson. You are effectively a ghost. What is a ghost? Ask Mike Lindell. If you think this is just Nigel Farage, no, no. We watched this happen through a 2022 and emboldened by what the deplatforming and debanking going on with people that did not agree with the current administration or the views of the bank, as was the case with Nigel Farage, in a 40-page dossier, 4-0, where they scanned his social media platforms, and it can be anything someone has said, whether it was 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago, that is being used as an excuse to deplatform someone because they don't align with our values. This goes direct things. Freedom of speech, freedom of association, both of which are enabled, enumerate, they are the rights upon which all other rights are founded in our Constitution. Well, but Nigel's a Brit. Yes, he's a Brit. However, since we tend to, and those culture warriors tend to look to Europe as being more sophisticated, better ahead of what we're doing, we should follow Europe. Well, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe, just maybe, with the exception of GB News and their cash is king movement, perhaps we should take a look at why we need to. And this is not me, oh, but Monica, you sound like you're a Glenn Beck clone. Oh, you sound like you've been listening to too much Fox News. No, Money Girl has not. This actually came out of a discussion held at the RAND Corporation, which, by the way, is not known for its far-right stance. Far from it. As a matter of fact, one of the sponsoring professors happens to, quite frankly, hate America, chooses to live and work in Ecuador, to which I look at him and say, you should resign your commission then, Bubba. However, under the First Amendment, that is his freedom of choice. He is free to choose to do that. Absolutely. Why is he free to choose to do that? It's the First Amendment, because the First Amendment covers speech, all association. You cannot be considered guilty because you are associated with even very tangentially with a group. So I know people like Dad Bod Veteran on TikTok will disagree with me. Certainly Mr. Glenn Beck will disagree with me. Tucker Carlson, I can name Charlie Kirk, I can name a host. Tim Cast, IRL. I can name a plethora. Love that word. Plethora of people off social media that will disagree with me on this stance. However, our ability to bank, to be considered a person, and it is so important that it's actually in the Charter on Human Rights from the UN. Now, don't get me wrong, Money Girl is not necessarily a friend of the UN and think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. No. The people in the pale blue metal helmets, to me, sometimes have done more harm than good. That is my opinion. That is my First Amendment. Okay? Coming to bear. So this all is in relationship. This is our relationship with money. And as more and more there is a push to disavow and not use cash under the guise of, well, it's inconvenient and it's hard to trace and only criminals use cash, that's actually incorrect. You know who uses cash? They use a method which my accounting professor called the cigar box method, which is you start off the day with X number of dollars in your coffee can or your cigar box. And you open up, do your business, you do your brick and mortar business with whoever. People come in, say you're selling candy. People come in to buy your premium chocolate. So they will give you, you know, whatever that money is, $6 a bar. You just say, fine, we're only accepting cash. At the end of the day, you're going to, oh, you just put it in and give people change. Put it in, give people change. Put it in, give people change all day long. At the end of the day, you open up the box, take out your seed money that you had from the beginning. Boom. Everything else, less your cost of goods, less your expenses, all that's your profit for the day. All of that is your net profit for the day. Why is that a net profit for the day? Ah, that is because it is after deducting all of your other expenses. It is what is left. It is your remainder interest. It's what's left in the giant net that you've used to bring that resource into your business. That's that concept. Well, how does this affect your bank? Guess what? Your bank does the same thing. Except they do it digitally, okay? They no longer do what we were taught to do in basic accounting education when we're doing a bank reconciliation. And if you have ever tried to argue with your bank, you will know this is what we said you had, and this is what you said you had, and we are right. So if you have ever had that discussion with your financial institution, you will know that this can be fruitless. However, the underlying concepts of how you deal with your money is you have X amount. Okay, whether you put it in an envelope, whether you put it in a coffee can, whether you put it under your pillow or in your sock drawer, it does not matter. You're going to take, well, what do I need to do? I need to put X amount aside for the rent, for the utilities, for all of these other things. So that's put out and taken care of. What you have left, if you're lucky, is your remainder interest. That's your money. That is what we call discretionary income. Why do we call this discretionary income? Because hopefully you have the ability, if you have anything left over, to use that to do other things at your, say it with me, discretion. But you don't have that if the bank, using their terms of service, said, well, if you don't support our goals with the environment and with the environment and with governance and with the correct views on social media, to have that. Guess what? You become the unbanked. You become the people that line up two blocks from my house on the 1st through the 10th with their EBT checks in their hand to cash them at a 10% surcharge. So then they can take what little bit is left and use that to budget for everything else because they have no bank. They have to try and get a payday loan, which, by the way, you cannot even get a payday loan at 3,000% unless you have, say it with me, a bank account, a short, very short-term loan at a very high interest rate against your next paycheck. So your terms are in less than a month, which is why the actual APR return on that is so high. But we'll spend some time walking through that next week. But for this week, I want you to understand how important it is. Now, why is cash so bad? It's not. It, other than, okay, again, this is another accounting professor. He goes, cash is the most important asset, but it's also lazy. But Money Girl, why is cash lazy? Well, think about it. If it just sits around in your account, in, let's say you have it in your cigar box. It's in your cigar box under your pillow. Is it earning interest? Is it being used to underwrite loans for people? Is it being used to purchase, I don't know, how about more of those wonderful candy bars that you're selling in your shop for cash? Is it used to purchase, I don't know, more waffle dogs? Is it used to create a marketing campaign to tell everyone in your local area how wonderful your waffle dogs are? Walk on in, walk out happy with our waffle dog. It's not doing any of that if it's just sitting in the box under your pillow where you're hoping, you know, you sleep on it because I guess you're going to dream about your cash. That's why it's lazy, because it's not really doing much for you if it's not out at interest, and the banks count on that. So, and oh, and by the way, the nasty thing is those banks will take your cash, put it in their big digital thing. I mean, you can't even, once it goes into their vault, you don't know. And actually it turns into a set of digital numbers that are used to digitally create and back loans for other people. Oh, Mr. Bank, I would really like to borrow X amount so that I can start my little hot dog cart, because it's going to go into competition with that waffle dog critter. Okay? That is actually the basic premise of a credit union, which is a type of financial institution. It used to be what big banks like Bank America was. Of course, Bank America, which got its start in San Francisco after the earthquake, because you had one guy walking around selling his oranges. Well, guess what? They used the oranges and that money to finance and help the immigrant population in San Francisco get back on their feet. These are the origin stories of these banks. Right now, These banks, like pretty much everything you buy from the grocery store, is all owned by a handful of people. It's called an oligopoly, which means that they can all get together and say, we're all going to charge essentially this. But Money Girl, doesn't the federal government regulate banks? Yes, and if you knew how little they had to have on hand in capital and in cash, which is why they really discourage you from coming and just withdrawing your money without giving them prior notice, because they no longer have to have that cash on hand. Do you realize they only have to have a 3.5% capitalization? By that, Money Girl means they only have to have 3.5% of the cash they say they have on hand. And at any given day, they don't physically have that in your branch. As I said, that money has been lent out 10,000 different places to other banks to earn interest, or other enterprises to earn interest for the bank, which is basically they lend your money out to get more money on your money. Yeah. Sound kind of messed up? Yeah, it is. This is the world we live in. Am I advocating that we give it all up? Realistically, in a world with chips and Wi-Fi, no. Are the days of the cigar box accounting over? Not yet. But there is a push to a digital currency because this allows your bank to track every single purchase. They know what you buy, when you buy it, where you buy it. And they go, I'm sorry, you already bought 2 jars of peanut butter this month. You don't get to buy more peanut butter. We're disallowing this purchase overnight. Oh, well, you know, we decided that we're going to devalue our currency. Guess who did that just recently? How about Modi in India? Yeah. And overnight, people's savings accounts were cut in half. Overnight, any notes over a certain amount were no longer accepted. India is leading the charge in the war on cash. As I said before, it's simply, well, but only criminals carry cash. Okay, that's true, because if you think about it, how many dealers do you know have a Square? How many dealers do you let them just, here, I'm just going to put my Visa chip in there so I can get my next hit? Yeah, that doesn't happen for exactly the reasons I just mentioned. People know when you've purchased, where you've purchased, and in the case of using a Square, they know where things were purchased. Far easier to track. Not only that, but within less than a minute of all this information being gathered on you, it's sold around the world to people with questionable purchases. All right, so Money Girl's talked about this probably way too long, and I'm sure people think that I am sounding a lot crazy, that I'm foaming at the mouth. I promise you I'm not. Because remember, this is Money Girl's Manic Monday for the marginally successful and the ultimately broke, all of which Money Girl personifies. Okay. So, as I said, the war on cash is because cash is anonymous. People don't know. I'm sorry. A $20 bill is fungible to some extent. Okay. And I'm saying that because each bill has a distinct serial number. We know where those serial numbers went to, as far as to the issuing bank, okay, and to the issuing Federal Reserve. Beyond that, it gives people a great deal of anonymity. It allows people to keep their identity. It allows people to simply go about their business, doing their business without it becoming your business. Like, no one is going to be up in that Kool-Aid. Money Girl sounding really old school because, you know, 90s was my soundtrack. No, that's not true. 80s was my soundtrack, which really, really, really puts a time frame on MG. All right. So why the war on cash? Because cash requires security. Cash requires people being trustworthy to handle it. Because let's say that I give Mikey the cash deposit to go put in the bank, and Mikey decides, I'm just going to skim a couple 20s off the top. There's no way to verify where that 20 went. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I miscounted it or got robbed, and I just gave the guy bait money to let me go. Any number of scenarios. And if you ask people in the justice system, they will say it's because it's all nefarious purposes, which is why they have SAR. If you've been listening to Congress, you have heard things about SARs. Well, SARs are what they call special action reports, which is if you're withdrawing money over $2,000 in cash, if you are depositing money over $4,000 in cash, if you're depositing funds of $10,000 or more, every single one of those has a digital flag and generates what's called a 1023 form, which is how Anthony Weiner's gotten caught misusing funds. To be perfectly honest, it's what's being demanded of Hunter Biden, and where or what he's been using, how he's been using his expenses. Okay. So that's actually all part of the war on cash, because only criminals carry cash. Only criminals are going to throw this around to make people think that they have money when they may or may not. Okay, that's another thing. But there is a psychology with having a big wad of cash. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got all this money. Well, having all that money now is like, well, why are you carrying cash? I know people that they can't make change. They have to wait for the machine to tell them how to do it. All of these things are important. Until then, we're going to talk more about this next week, why cash, why keeping cash is important, and why we should support, and GB News should support in this country, not just the UK, making cash king again. Why? Because maybe I don't think the government needs to know where I buy my $5 latte. Not that Money Girl would ever do that. Okay, first off, I don't do coffee. Second off, I'm not going to spend $5 on a Bev. All right? That's why I have my rewards card. And believe me, seven rewards lets me know. You bought 20, so you bought 66 cups last year. Keep going. Keep drinking. Yay. Just another Manic Monday. We'll talk more.